podcast.
June 21st to June 30th has been World Wellbeing Week, and it's an opportunity for participants worldwide to promote an overall awareness for the wide-ranging aspects of well-being, including social, physical, emotional, financial, career, community and environmental well-being. And it chimes really nicely with the Council's own well-being strategy that has three pillars of well-being: mental and emotional well-being, physical well-being and financial well-being. And for the Wellbeing Week, our team have been planning a number of events. So I've been speaking to Shona Laird, Kate Owen and Sharon Johnson from the Wellbeing team at the Council about the work they're doing and what wellbeing means for them. And later on, you'll hear a little bit when I caught up with those people that participated in one of the activities, a wellbeing walk at Kilmorey. So here's Shona, Kay and Sharon. So hi, I've got Shona, Sharon and Kay, all part of the wellbeing team, and it's Wellbeing Week, so this seemed really appropriate to get you on and talk about it. I mean, clearly your wellbeing is part of your job, but you know, maybe just get you to talk about why it's important for you and, you know, why you see it as such an important part of the work that we do at the Council. And maybe get Shona if you want to start off, and and then we can bring in Sharon and Kay as well.
I think wellbeing, I think the last year has shown us that wellbeing is one of the most important things. We have suddenly realised that living without these things that we've taken for total granted, like popping in, you know, for a cup of coffee to a pal's or at your jogging group or, you know, whatever it's been, suddenly these things have gone. And what a difference it's made. They seem small, but it has made such a difference to us. And I think, and it's not just about the absence of ill health, it's about like thriving, about being really happy, well, not really happy, but do you know what I mean, like about being happy, about, you know, living your life to the way you want to lead it. And I think there are lots of elements that make up well-being. You've got that kind of emotional, mental sort of side of it, you've got the physical side of it, you've got the financial side of it, and it's all a super careful balance. And if one of these things kind of falls off, then you're like, oh, the other things start to get affected. And so it's, you know, it's about thinking, right, when that does go wrong, like, what can we do? You know, how can we support each other to get that balance back? And I think that also translates into the workplace. How much has changed in our work in the last year? And, you know, okay, we changed because we had to, and we had to do it quickly. But now let's have a wee think, right, okay, how have those impacted our well-being? And do we need a wee pause here and have a wee think about, like, what's been good? Because there's certainly been good things, but what's not worked so good? And everybody's got a different view of that as well.
Thanks, Shona. I mean, Sharon, what about for you? I mean, I think Shona's picked up that, and certain feedback I've had is the focus that we've put on it because of COVID is, has been valued by people. Is that the same sense you get?
Yeah, definitely. I agree with what Shona has been saying, and it has been a real juggle. For me personally, I was having to shield during the pandemic. So at first, when the government letters were coming out, it was super scary. Personally, I kept seeing the letters, I was getting the text messages. Both my husband and my son are key workers, so they were going to work. And it was like, just like a whole different routine of just having to be in a routine, probably more than anything. And I wouldn't say that I'm an anxious person at all, but I was feeling very anxious, you know. And it was simple things like the boys coming in from work and stripping off at the back door, showering, you know, all things that they wouldn't normally do on a, you know, coming in from work anyway, straight away, and just, you know, extra precautions. And you know, from the Wellbeing Wednesdays, I'm sure you've seen, I've got three ponies and also three dogs. I've got a thing about three, although I've only got two children. And even though I was shielding, for me, I still had to do my routine of going to the ponies 2-3 times a day. So it kind of kept me in, even though I was just going from A to B, it just kind of kept my mind in a kind of good place. And it just allowed me to escape. And for all that things, you know, I think it's important to stress that having a good sense of well-being doesn't mean that you're always happy. It just means you're in a place to be able to cope with things and you've got resilience to be able to deal with things as they happen. So I don't think having good well-being means that you have to be happy all the time and, you know, be singing and dancing. It's just having those coping strategies or learning to find coping strategies to deal with things as they happen.
Yeah, I mean, that shielding, I think, has been a really tough thing for a lot of people. And I think something, you know, you've highlighted that different experience for everybody through this period. And, you know, you'll have been able to empathise with people shielding and, you know, even what you described, the difference between key workers, because I was, yeah. I was certainly very aware of that right in the heat of all the work we were doing last year of, you know, some people were frenetic. It was full on frontline. Key workers were still having to go out and do the jobs and interact with people. And then other people felt shut off from some of the activity or the decision making. And it was really contrasting experiences for people. So, no, I think that's a key point. And I can definitely identify with the sort of finding little things. So if anybody who's sort of eagle-eared will hear that, might hear that I'm sat outside because you can hear a lawnmower in the background, and that was my thing, like last year and this year, of if I had a busy day, if I could do some meetings while I was sat outside and get a bit of fresh air, and that was just a little way to sort of enhance my well-being if I couldn't fit in an extra walk or something. It's just sometimes it's little things that can make all the difference, isn't it? And what about you, Kay?
I think for me, well-being is about making the most out of life, enjoying life and the time that you have, and an awareness that that doesn't come fully formed as a package for everyone. And as Shona's mentioned, there's three pillars here that have been identified, and it's about kind of keeping on top of those. If one of those starts to slip, then that is something that you need to check in on, and an awareness for us in our personal life and our working life as well, that it is a process of keeping an eye on those things and making sure that everything's ticking over well, because when something like COVID does hit, you do need to make sure that you can keep on top of things and you are on your game. So I think from the point of view of kind of why well-being is important, it's just highlighting to people, you know, this is something just for everybody, just to be comfortable talking about and to be aware of, and it's in all our own benefits really to have an awareness of it.
Yeah, I think what you described is so important, because it's you know, it doesn't start and end with work or your personal life. It goes, it's a continuum right through, and you can there's an element of personal responsibility of, you know, we have for our own well-being. And I suppose I you know, one of the things I like to do is go for a walk at lunchtime, but I'm aware I have to get, you know, I have to make a conscious decision to do that, because it's either it's easy to go, oh, I won't do it today, or you know, you feel, you know, you don't make the time in your day to do that, but sometimes just doing that can make all the difference. I mean, I know there's a lot of tools that you guys make available to people, you know, but some of that is about them people using them. So, and there's a number of events this week of webinars and walks and things. Maybe tell us a little bit about what you try to do in what's available to people, and what the sort of particular activities around Wellbeing Week are.
We had, sorry, Shona.
Well, I was just going to say, I think like one of the messages is that like wellbeing is not a marathon. You know, you don't have to take hours out of your day, you know, to look after your wellbeing. Literally 5 minutes could make all the difference. And a thing that we've kind of talked about a lot is the 5 minute holiday. And so whilst we'd all like to be on actual holiday in Thunder, very nice and hot, the 5 minute holiday is just about taking 5 minutes out. And my 5 minute holidays have looked like sticking taking my head out of the window, come rain, hail or shine, because you just get a bit of fresh air and a bit of kind of, okay, that's what's going on out there. A walk, you know, outside, you know, those are the things that are, you know, can just make all the difference. And the sort of events that we've had on this week, we've had a mindfulness seminar, and so understand what mindfulness is, and that it doesn't have to be a full blown half an hour meditation. You know, like what mindfulness looks like. So that we've had that. We've had webinars on menopause. We've also got our wellbeing walk tomorrow, where we're getting together as a group to do a COVID safe kind of walk and get outside, you know, in Kilmorie. So there's lots of those kind of things that are just super easy to do, that just 5 minutes can make all the difference, just as you've said. And I think, Sharon, you were just going to say there about what other supports that we've got available in terms of the EAP and our apps. I don't know if you want to let folk know about that.
Yeah, so our EAP service is organised by Health Assured, and I think when people hear EAP or Employee Counselling Service, they automatically think it's just for counselling, and I don't think they're drawn to it straight away, but it's just to let people know that it's much more than counselling. They actually have trained legal advisors on there who can provide legal information from, you know, things as wills, you know, writing your will, having that properly documented, to dealing with a parking ticket, you know, that you may have had and you're sitting worrying, you're not sure what to do about it. So they have lots of different advisors. They also have a critical incident advice service, you know, where they can provide that service. And during the pandemic, you know, it was certainly used a fair bit for advice for managers. They also have a really good app, which we're trying to promote at the moment, which is available via Apple or any Android phone. So you just download the app, and it has a wealth of topics on it. So you can pick what's relevant to you, you know, for things like you might want to be want to get out walking more. So it kind of sends you wee prompts to say it's time to go out for a walk. You know, it's lunchtime. Have you been out for your walk? It's almost like it checks in with you to kind of give you, you know, a wee bit of motivation.
If you're trying to lose
your personal trainer, yeah, keep you motivated. It also, you know, if you're trying to lose weight, it can give you some cooking recipes, or it'll ask you, you know, how have you been this week? Have you had a good week? Have you had a little bit? Have you been naughty? Have you exercised? You know, all this kind of stuff. They also have celebrity speakers on it, you know, talking about things that are quite sensitive and being really open and honest. So it's quite good to listen in. It asks you to rate how your well-being is every Friday. Normally Friday afternoon it sends you a push notification, you know, and you can see whether you've had a good week, a bad week. It has the option there if you maybe want to speak to someone, and that can be done via live chat, so you don't actually have to pick up the phone. You can speak to an advisor, you know, via messaging on your phone app. So a lot of people were kind of finding that beneficial because they weren't actually having to speak to someone in person. They could just type their message. So that kind of, I think, prevents a barrier, you know, sometimes from making that initial contact. But it's a really, really good app. I absolutely love it.
No, I'm sure, you know, that'll be, you know, the functionality that will be news to some people, because I think you're right. And, you know, there's this theme in that of just sometimes being able to get something off your chest, you know, and that's also, you know, the other aspect is just about being kind to one another, isn't it? Almost, yeah. Just how you look out for your colleagues, or if somebody's looking a bit off, even just, you know, you can sometimes see that on a video call, or just the tone of somebody's voice. And I know that, you know, I said that before, but, you know, that's certainly what I've picked up from both the Wellbeing Wednesdays and the updates I give and the podcasts and things, of just, you know, showing that you value and you care about people actually can, it shows us just the little things that can make all the difference to just feeling that that colleagues are concerned about those things. It's you know, particularly now through COVID.
And just allowing people time to speak, you know, asking the question, how are you today? And just allowing them time. And, you know, sometimes I think we rush about in our lives way too much, and it's important just to take a breath. You know, as Shona says, just take a bit of time and make time for your colleagues or your friends, pick up the phone. You know, it's good to talk, as lots of people say.
Yeah, I think it's, you're so right. And I think it's, It always, I never feel I can say it enough, but essentially the council only exists because of all the people that are part of it, and we only work well as an organisation if everyone within it is resilient and supported to work well, which is what makes this stuff just so important. And we've seen, we've seen that COVID just as heightened the impact of when stuff is tough, when you're at home on your own, or you don't have somebody to talk to, or you're dealing with stress or something like that. So it's Kay, what are some of the favorites of tactics you use? Do you have 5-minute holidays, or what's your outlet?
I do find stopping to take a breath quite useful. There was a practical session on the mindfulness session, which is quite good, and I've seen it in a few different scenarios, the sort of taking a breath in and holding it and taking a breath out, and it feels a bit odd at first, but I think once you kind of learn to kind of relax into it, it does feel nice once you've finished, and Shona had pointed out previously as well, if you're working on a problem or there's something you're kind of not finding your way around, it's a good way to stop, kind of take a step back, clear your mind, and then kind of it enables you to approach it again and kind of work your way through it. So yeah, I found that quite a useful technique.
I know people sometimes don't always believe these things, but I mean I'm similar to you in that if I've dealt with something difficult, it's been a tough meeting, just standing up and walking into the next room and taking even a few seconds to do that, I won't be able to quote the science, but there is sort of science that says for your neurology, if you change your state, you could kind of change your state of mind, and standing up if you're sitting down, or sitting down if you're standing up, or something can just shift you out of what's been a sort of maybe a hard meeting or a hard conversation into and sort of refresh you for the next thing. I think it's that there's real science behind it, but it's, I know when somebody told me that when I actually tried it, it's amazing how effective these things are. It's just little techniques. So are you all going on the walk tomorrow for around Kilmory in the woods?
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. Around, yep. Kilmory Loch. So, and the sun's to be shining. I've checked the weather, so it's to be a great day weather-wise.
Need to make sure the canteen's got some ice cream or something in for us afterward.
I should have organised that.
You should have organised that, Sharon. Yeah.
Yeah. And ice cream definitely features as part of well-being. I think we definitely have to make that point. Yeah, unfortunately I can't make the walk, but I'm going to come and try and speak to a few people on it, and hopefully we can include something in the podcast. But I hadn't thought of that. Now I'm definitely going to make sure I can join you for the ice cream bit.
I think, like, I have to say, I have been on so many walks and so many paths and so many different places that I haven't been before, and it has been the pandemic that's kind of forced me to do it. I was, fed up with the same old walks, and I've been up at Kilmory a lot, and I've followed, I think, almost every path now to see where it goes. And it's been great because it's a bit more relaxed at Kilmory. I've not had my work shoes on and I've had my trainers on, and it's encouraged me to go off road a lot more. And I was left thinking, what a brilliant place to actually work, because there's so much right on the doorstep. So it's been really nice actually to be on, to just take a path and wonder where it goes and, enjoy yourself.
No, I think you're right. It is. I share your view. I'd like to go walk at lunchtime if I can possibly fit it in, and Kilmory's great for that. But, there are so many places, if I think about all our offices of places you can go. And I mean, it's hard to find a bad place to walk in Argyll and Bute, really. Yeah. And I think, your point really brings out this, some positive, while there's been real challenges through COVID, there's been some positives, because we do, we are changing the way we dress and turn up to work and things like that. I'm like, I'm much more like to be in more casual clothes and have my trainers on and things like that, and all of those things do just free up that opportunity to go and do something, or just, you know, are things we can embrace. And I think you know, some of the focus on well-being has been, you know, one of the positives that, you know, that will stay, that we probably focus much more, but, you know, the value of that in terms of the impact on people and their personal lives as well as their working lives is been significant. I think it's, you know, do you all feel that it's given a boost to the work you were doing pre-COVID?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. When we took up post transferring into the wellbeing team, it was literally just a few weeks before the pandemic hit. So our work plan that we had in place for the year was totally put to one side, and, you know, wellbeing became a massive, massive focus, and it totally changed our opinions and direction. And, you know, like you said, living in Argyll and Bute, I think we're really lucky, you know, because, you know, while we've had to homeschool for lots of people and it's been so difficult, you know, I myself had to homeschool a 6 year with hires and things that are way out with my knowledge. It was really, really stressful. But imagine having to do that, you know, in a different location where, you know, you can't step outside and go for a walk in beautiful scenery and just, you know, take a breath and take it in. So I think we're lucky where we live. And yes, I do. I think it's changed our whole kind of work-life balance, you know, with the, as you say, the dressing down, you know, being a bit more comfy. You know, we've not had to leave the house at a certain time, you know, in our suits, or, you know, it's just taken that, allowed you to take a breath, I think. And I think it's been important, because I think dealing with all of that and a pandemic might have just pushed our resilience to a difficult level, you know. So I definitely think it's been a good change for me anyway, personally.
Yeah, homeschooling's been tough. I don't envy your 6th year. That would, yeah, I'd have to get out the textbooks, I think. But I mean, I think, again, I think you're right. And the, you know, the, even some of the recent survey work we've done about how people will work in the future and being able to be flexible, those hybrid models is an example of how we can take on some of that flexibility that we've had, that, you know, there's a lot of feedback that's helped people's work-life balance and quality of life and you know, quality of family time. So I don't think we'll ever go back to the way that we worked before.
Yeah, I think the other thing as well is that, like, we've found, like, different ways to, like, kind of put, or I mean, we've had to consciously find different ways to kind of put this sort of connectivity or collaborativeness, I don't think that's a word, the way that we used to work before. So, like, you know, I would see, like, you know, some of my colleagues every morning, like, how are you doing, how's the weekend, you know, how's things, and then you don't see them, and if you don't have, like, a reason, like, to phone them, then you don't get that casual conversation. So, like, I've had to, you know, like, I've thought, oh god, I've not spoken to her for ages, like, I'll give her a wee phone and see how she's doing, and really enjoyed those conversations, because they've been complete conversations without a work, like, aspect to it as well. And it's kind of consciously creating, like, things that would naturally have happened before. I think that's important. So as we move forward to a new way of working, we should, like, you know, try to kind of think about, well, what things do we enjoy about our old way of working, to make sure that we bring them with us, if that makes sense.
Totally, totally. And I think I heard a dog in the background somewhere. Mine are here too. So.
Yeah, sorry.
No, don't apologise. I think having dogs around is, you know, for me is a definite plus in managing my stress levels. But I mean, I think what you highlight, Shona, is, you know, the importance of good conversations and things, and that's something I'm a great believer in. You know, whether it's sort of those more social interactions, or just the how we interact with people and work issues, you know, that is a key point. So I think you know, the point you make is really important. What would be your aspirations in going forward for what a good workplace looks like for well-being and for, you know, for mental well-being? Because, we're hopefully hearing that restrictions are starting to are going to be coming to an end shortly, and we've just said we won't be going back to normal. But what is sort of a team that's focused, you know, your day job's focused on wellbeing, not just you for yourselves, but for the whole organisation. What would you like to be able to achieve, or what would it look like if it was, if we're successful in that? Or maybe start with Shona, and then I'll come to each of you, so you can get a bit of thinking time.
I think we really, you know, wellbeing's not an add-on or a bolt-on, or, you know, it's something that's integral to our way of working. You know, like you said before, like the council, you know, it's about people. That's our biggest resource. And their wellbeing, therefore, is the, you know, is really, really the most important thing. And so I think, you know, we aspire, you know, to get to a place where, you know, people are looking forward to their day ahead. They leave their work feeling a sense of accomplishment, you know, and good at the end of their day. They are, you know, open to approaches from their colleagues, and, you know, in terms of like that sort of collaborative working, managers and teams are supportive of each other. As an organisation, we're focusing on prevention rather than cure. You know, we're not talking about absence rates. We're talking about, you know, okay, what can we do to prevent or support employees that have got, you know, kind of health conditions? We need to monitor what the wellbeing of our staff is. You know, we've got some data, but the wellbeing of our staff just isn't driven by absence data. There's way more facets to that. So, you know, what does that look like? And then, you know, support, you know, and develop like support mechanisms that are in relation to that. So if the feedback we've got is, okay, you know, as employees, we're doing well in this sort of area of wellbeing, but we struggle with this, well, then what can we do to support? And then what can, you know, not necessarily within work, but also out with work. And then kind of line managers, you know, they need to have the confidence and the capacity to support, you know, their staff and their employees, you know, with their well-being. So how can we support line managers to do that? So, you know, sometimes line managers get a little bit lost. I think they're responsible for an awful lot, so we want to make sure that they're able to, you know, to do that. So, you know, just kind of sort of looking at things like that as well. And I think whatever policies or procedures or changes in work practice that we're looking at putting in, we need to consider what would the impact on that be, on wellbeing be. So if we're looking at a new job description or a new organisational structure, or, you know, a change in what we're doing, well, let's think about how that would impact our our employees' wellbeing.
I mean, that's a fantastic vision I want to see. You've inspired me, Shona. What about you, Sharon? Shona's given us such a comprehensive vision that no pressure to add anything to that.
Obviously, 100% back everything that Shona's just said. A great, great answer. I think for me personally, you know, we're starting to do quite a bit of coaching with managers. As Shona says, you know, sometimes they do get a wee bit lost when it comes to folks' wellbeing and, you know, dealing with sensitive illnesses. You know, cancer, you know, is one big one. You know, sometimes managers just don't know what they should be doing. You know, should they be contacting people? Should they not be contacting them? It's really tricky. So I think for us, it would include us doing a lot more coaching, you know, mentoring, you know, making sure that managers are feeling confident and comfortable and following the procedures, you know, and allowing them to excel. And then obviously that has an overall effect on everybody's health and wellbeing as well. I think, you know, World Wellbeing Week has been the first event that we've run. So I would hope that we could run more events going forward and, you know, learn from maybe what's worked well, what hasn't worked well. You know, obviously the wellbeing team has put the menopause procedure in place, you know, to provide guidance to managers on an important subject as menopause, as all women have to go through at some point in their life. You know, so again, it's educating and having that support there. So looking at these kind of policies and procedures and making sure things that are in place to support health and wellbeing going forward. And I suppose the biggest thing would be to get feedback from our employees, you know, find out what would improve their health and wellbeing, what can we do better, you know, as an organisation that's going to, you know, they come to work, as Shona said, they come to work happy, they go away contented, you know, they've done a good job. You know, they feel content and they feel happy. So yeah.
No, that, I mean, that's great. The themes in there, you know, that stood out for me is that sort of, I suppose it's back to all the sort of conversations again and the importance of those and confidence, trust and openness. And, you know, yeah, the menopause policy is exactly an example of that, having people feeling more confident to discuss these things and the, you know, the real things that people have to, that women have to deal with through that, or as you say, cancer, you know, they're all sort of genuine physical, social, mental issues to go through that are just a fact of life, unfortunately, but all the more important that we can kind of be mindful and kind to one another as we're facing some of those things. Kay, what about you? That sorry, it's challenging to go last on that.
I think from a wellbeing point of view in an organisation thriving, a lot of it is about open and understanding communication. I think as we've touched on, and colleagues and managers having the courage to be able to open up and have discussions with each other. It doesn't necessarily mean laying all your problems on your colleague or on someone else, but to be able to give somebody some space to talk about what something feels like for them, two people will react very differently in a situation. So I think if we are an organisation where that can become a normal scenario, then that would be wonderful, I think, for everybody's well-being. I think particularly in the situation that we're in, that coming back into being in the same building or being in the same environment with each other is not something we're likely to be doing, that's going to be even more important, that I think we're able to build conversations with each other when we're doing that over the phone and over video, and we're not able to have those cues that you would have if you're in the room with someone. So to be able to kind of drop your guard a little bit, to have those conversations, I think is what's going to stand us in good stead, I think, to keep communicating well.
Yeah, I mean, courage, what you used that word, and what important thing to highlight, because it is going to take courage from people. I think that's a really important point to just recognise. This is not necessarily easy for everybody, and I think that's just so important to highlight. So if people want to get in touch with the wellbeing team with any sort of ideas or questions, how's best for them to get in touch with you?
We've got our own email address, so it's wellbeing@argyle-butte.gov.uk. We've also got an advice line, so they can pick up the phone. All our details are on the hub as well. And yeah, we love getting our feedback from our Wellbeing Wednesdays every week. We've had quite a lot of feedback on that gives us ideas for future Wellbeing Wednesdays as well. So definitely keep the feedback coming.
And we love hearing about what people like.
And sending pictures in as well. You know, it's great. Love it.
Yeah, so definitely get in touch with the wellbeing team and all of you, and hopefully people get a sense of the people behind the team now. And Sharon, what's the name of the app that people can download, and we'll try and encourage more people to get your app?
It's called My Healthy Advantage app.
Okay, it's My Healthy Advantage app. So search an app store near you and download the app and start logging onto that. I'm going to go and download that so they can prod me and train me on taking more exercise and more healthy eating, recipes. So I shall be downloading that this afternoon.
And after you've had your ice cream, though. Yeah. We'll save your ice cream, and then after that.
Damn, I've given away the contradictions in my strategy.
Yeah. I just had to point them out there.
I'll hopefully see you all at the walk tomorrow, and more ice cream.
So next we're moving to the back car park at Kilmorey IHQ here, to hear from some of the ladies who are just finishing the wellbeing walk that took place this week. I say ladies, no men, so looking for more men to get involved next year when we do events. But there was a guest appearance from Ruby the dog. Unfortunately, meetings meant I couldn't go on the walk myself, but I did manage to join them all for ice cream.
See, I've turned up just in time for the ice cream. Yeah. Timing is everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't mean to be miserable, ladies, but I'm
going to
boost.
Do you want a lolly before you go? Do you want a lolly before you go? Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
See you later.
So do you all walk normally? Is this special that you've come out because it's Wellbeing Wednesday?
I walk normally, but not that challenging a walk. The girls have got me going up rocks and things today. Yeah. It's quite challenging, but I had lots of help. Great teamwork, so it was brilliant.
I've got another box.
I'm really good to get out in the middle of the day. I'm okay, thank you.
That's nice bit of social event as well, yeah. Albeit socially distanced.
Yeah. It's nice to see everybody be together again and do something together.
And speak to folk that you've not spoken to for ages. Like, I've not spoken to you for ages, Lillian. That was really nice, to catch up.
We normally just walk by each other in the past.
Because you're going so fast.
So the well-being's not just the exercise, it's the social interaction as well. Eh?
Definitely.
I think that's more important.
Definitely.
Thank you. Yeah. It's like
almost
pineapple.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. That's the bit I miss about it.
So you're now planning this might be a regular event as well.
We've talked about whether we can make it monthly maybe.
Yeah.
And we maybe have a with dogs and a non-dog walk so people can bring their dogs along.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
And so, we should give a shout out to Ruby,
yep.
Your Border Terrier.
She led us all away.
Better represented than the men today. Yeah, and an all ladies line up today.
And really disappointing. So, we'll call out to all the guys who are round about near in the vicinity of Midargyle or anywhere else if anybody else wants to set up a Wellbeing Wednesday walk. And we want to see at least 20% representation of our male colleagues.
Don't forget, if you're a member of staff, you can download the My Healthy Advantage app, or you can get in touch with the wellbeing team at wellbeing@argyle-bute.gov.uk if you've got any ideas for work that they can feature in their Wellbeing Wednesday or any other activities you'd like to see them plan. And I hope you'll have a happy and healthy weekend. Bye.
Peppers Podcast.